from Council District 2, Tony Smelnick's with us. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon,
Frank. It's great to have you. What'd you say, Frank?
Tim.
Bob. Come on, that's good. That's a good way to start. First of all, Karen calls me Bob. Now you're calling me Frank, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and run my head in the wall.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It happens. Congratulations on, again, a run for office. It takes a lot out of your day. I know you're raising a big family and you're working yourself, and you've decided this foray into politics was something for you. And this your second term, would be your second term, mm-hmm. running for county council. What have you found different, Tony, if you don't mind, from when you ran the first time, you know, new charter, new everything, versus this time? Are the people more educated into what's going on or not?
Unfortunately, I would say that when we're out door knocking, we still get people going, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And they've lived there for 15, 20 years. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, I don't even know you when you get to the door. A lot of them, and we've knocked on almost 2,000 doors.
Wow.
So we've been out there, you know, trying to get things done. And folks they're complacent, if you will.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. It seems like there was a big voter turnout, you know, for the early voting. Mm-hmm. I hope that continues for the general election. You know, I like to see people to get out and vote and participate. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important. Compared to last time.
Apathetic or complacent?
Or is it newcomers that aren't as engaged in the
no,
local?
No, we're talking in some of the old parts of the, okay. yeah, you know, we're out there everywhere. You know, we're not just, you know, obviously not just knocking on new doors. We're out there knocking on a
sure.
lot of doors. I think the difference this time is, last time we had a very, very competitive race for the county executive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the councilmanic races were a part of that, but they didn't have the energy. But that energy that was brought by the executive race was just really incredible and brought people to the polls. So we're not seeing that in the primary. That may change after the primary, and we find, you know, who the Republican candidate's going to be against the current executive. And maybe that will change. I don't know right now. The only thing I'm concerned about is tomorrow.
Sure. And let's see. You have, like, I think you said about almost 40,000 voters in your district.
Yep, there's 39,000 and some change. It's the largest district in terms of the amount of voters in it. While they tried to create them equally, I asked the Board of Elections the other day, and mine is has the largest number of
you. You've had a competitor in both races, your first race and the second race. What sets you apart from your competitor? I think that's the question Frank likes
well,
to ask.
Well, I mean, in both instances, the issue here has been growth, roads, and schools. There's no doubt about it. And the last time, there was actually two candidates that ran against me in the primary, or I should say I ran against them. They had announced their candidacies long before I did. I waited till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that because there were just things I heard about the candidates that just made me wonder whether they were really going to represent the conservative values that I have in terms of physical responsibility and also for property rights, and which I think are very, very important.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people are arguing right now in the district, and what makes it the very same with the candidate who's running against me currently is also about the growth of schools and also about property rights. And a lot of these folks in my district, right in the heart of it, and I live right down there on Route 75. The biggest issue is, you know, hey, we've moved in here, they say, and now we want to stop all the growth. It's not a conversation. Unfortunately, if it was a conversation, mm-hmm. my opponent would have called me up over the last 4 years and said, hey, can we talk? You know, we ran a race that we ran against you. Because as the past president of RAIL, Residents Against Land Sales Expansion, they ran when they lost, when their opponent lost, they ran a write-in against me and ran a third party candidate against me last time. And it's kind of like I would rather have a communication with them, but rather than doing that, in the last 4 years they never picked up the phone and said, hey, council member, can we have a sit down, can we talk about what our issues are? Sure, they've come to meetings and things like that, but they've never offered solutions or anything like that. Where I do, you know, I have done things. I have a voting record now, so it can't be denied in terms of, like, the schools are a perfect example. They're telling me that I haven't supported new school construction. Well, in fact, I have. I voted to raise the impact fees on new development, new construction 2 years ago when it came up.
So the difference is, I guess if I put it in very simple terms, that they're trying to play you as a growth candidate, and there sort of no growth, or
there's zero growth, and I wouldn't say here I'm a pro growth candidate. What I do recognize is what I was saying earlier, and didn't finish that thought, was that they come in here and they would like to see development like it is down and around the Green Valley Monrovia area, and they have stated this publicly. They like this idea of one house on 1 acre. Well, if that's not urban sprawl and the worst thing that you can do, what is? Mm-hmm. And then you talk about whether or not our roads can handle it or something like that. And we want to have, people say smart growth. We want to have responsible growth. But if you take, take some of the farms that were developed back in the 70s by Howard Payne, HF Payne Construction, mm-hmm. down and around Windsor Knolls, Lock Haven area, the Green Valley developments that are in that area, in the Kemptown area. If you take those developments and you look at them, you'd take 200, 250 acres and you get like 70 homes on it. And then you've destroyed all that ground, all of it. And then if you actually had water and sewer in those developments and the roads to service just those, say, 90 homes, look at all the roads you put in just to serve 90 homes. Look at the amount of sewer and water you'd have to put in just to service 90 homes. Whereas today, the methodologies to use planned urban developments will be to have, say, take 1,000 acres. You don't develop the whole 1,000 acres. Okay, you develop maybe 600 of it to most, because we're required to have green space and protect the environment. And in that 600 acres, rather than just doing maybe 400 or 500 homes, we're putting 2,000. Now, people say residential construction doesn't pay for itself. But when you start to look at the twist on those numbers, when you have 90 homes and you have water and sewer servicing them and you have miles and miles of road for 90 homes, or if you take a very small cluster of homes, you have less roads to service, you have shorter distances for your water and sewer, and there... And at that point, new construction absolutely does start to pay for itself. And we have the numbers to show, but they don't want to have that conversation. What they want to do is say, the roads are compacted, are busy and we don't have enough room to go. Our schools are overcrowded. And then they're disingenuous about that, because like right now in my district, we have had one new elementary school that was just built. We're getting another one that's going to come online in 2020. And we will have some issues with Urbana High and Urbana Middle and Oakdale High School. But, I tell folks, these are temporary problems. In Urbana, Urbana High School once upon a time had portables, and they were overcrowded. And then guess what happened? As the community matured, people graduated, people stayed in the homes. Even though new construction was going on, you didn't have an increase in student body. The student body went down. It went down below capacity, and it hasn't had portable for years. Now, we're getting ready to have some portables back, but it's not going to be crazy. And I tell folks, this is cyclical, and eventually it will go back. If we built the schools to the capacity of the growth that is initially comes with a brand-new development, because everybody wants to be there, we would be building schools too large, and then we would have these big, large buildings that we'd be maintaining, heating and cooling, that would end up being at probably below 70% capacity.
I asked you the question Frankie was to ask, is what differentiates you from the you and your opponent? These last 4 years, you served in office. What could you say were your best accomplishments, the things that you didn't get done, the things you liked, you didn't like? I'm going to leave that up to you.
Well, the last 4 years was really interesting, being on the first council.
Yes.
We set a lot of milestones, I guess you will, and we've started the process, hopefully, of what's going to be a successful charter government here. And I know that you're not a big fan of that, Tim, and honestly, I did not vote for it. But we're here, and we got to try to make it work. I hope the next council can even do better in forwarding that, getting that further along. We've created council rules. We've done a lot of things I still think that need to be readjusted. One of the things that I'm hoping to see actually happen, I'm trying to get my council members to get a couple charter amendments on the charter.
Such as for what?
One of those charter amendments would be to make it so that the county attorney could only be fired with a supermajority or a majority of the council in agreement with the county executive, or a supermajority without the executive could fire the county attorney. The issue being is, in the charter, the attorney is supposed to represent the entire county. The county is the council and the executive. Unfortunately, the county attorney works at the pleasure of the county executive. And quite frankly, not just me, but I think I can say I'd like to say 7 out of 7 council members agree that we always haven't gotten the best.
You can't serve two masters.
You can't. But you could serve two masters if you knew it took 6 of you to fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And because that would be a very high bar to meet, and I think that would give a lot of autonomy to the county attorney, which I think would be very, very important. The other charter amendment, which I'm asking my member, my council members to push through to let the voters decide, would be allowed the council to push money back and forth between departments. Right now, all we can do is cut. It's almost kind of ludicrous the way the writers of the charter did this, because you can't – you really – we're almost impotent, if you will, because we can't really be policymakers. But if we can push money back and forth, I think it would make it more of a conversation then with whoever the county executive is and make things a little bit better. County executive, and I know that she's been in here and has admitted, it's a very, very power-centric charter.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do everything we could, and if I get reelected, to continue to try to push back on that, so that I don't think that people's voices in each particular
district
have the voice that they should be having. So, but some of the things I have done is just to sit, you know, have. I was able to pass a bipartisan bill with MC Keegan, Aaron Bud Otis for the Veterans Advisory Council, which we did talk about in the past, I believe, which will hopefully help and assist the 17,000 vets here in the county. I supported, I co-sponsored legislation with Jessica Fitzwater to strengthen the forest reforestation ordinance so developers have to plant more trees and help our environment, things like that. I also straightened out the language for satellite simulcast betting or off-track betting, which some people took exception to, but really it was nothing more than the matter of basically saying what already existed here in the county and just clarifying it so someone doesn't have to jump through hoops to do that in the future, and which hopefully help the tourism dollars here. One of the other things I've done is I have quietly been working behind the scenes to help the craft brewing industry here in the county. If you go out there to the farm wineries and breweries, they will all tell you that I've been very active behind the scenes and helping their businesses whatever I could to actually, quite frankly, fight back on the county executive who would like to put more impediments on our businesses. And this is a growing industry, which we're competing against Loudoun County in Virginia, which brings millions and millions of dollars into their county, which I would love to see grow here. And I think it would be very, very beneficial to the county to have these local farm breweries and wineries, which absolutely save our farmland.
Sure.
The other thing I'm glad to see happening, and I'm not going to take credit for it, but I just think folks need to know that, you know, pound us about development. Frederick County is doing a great job in preserving farmland through the 10 different preservation programs we have. And, you know, I will give that credit to past boards, if you will, but it's something that I would hope to find other ways to continue to help the farmers preserve their lands in meaningful ways going forward and really control our growth into the areas where it was intended to, such as our county executive right now was on as a commissioner when they pushed for the wastewater treatment, the McKinney Wastewater Treatment Plant, which we are still paying for. It was built for the future, for 50, 60 years out. Most of those lines had two places for growth. And you know where they were? And people don't like this, but they were pushed down towards my district into the Urbana, Green Valley, New Market area. That is the intended growth. That's where growth has been planned for this county for 40 years. We need to do it responsibly, though. And that's what I've been working towards. And I have not been fast-tracking anything or doing anything like that. And it was recently I had stated in a letter that I wrote to the editor that I hadn't approved any growth, any new developments. And then someone came up, my opponent actually said, well, that wasn't true because you approved the 700 age-restricted community that's going to be coming in Urbana. No, what we did was allow for a zoning change to allow them to go before the Planning Commission. We did not approve that development yet. It has just only recently gone before the Planning Commission, is yet to come before us for approval. So, you know, it's important that we get the facts straight, and that's not a community that will put any stress, if you will, on our school system. And as far as roads are concerned and developments, you know, people, you know, want to, hey, look, I'm all for it. Let's get our roads a little bit better and let's fix them up on Route 75. You know, folks have said, hey, I want this 4-lane highway. That's absolutely false. It's a lie. I've never said that. What I would like to see are good road improvements in sections of 75 that need it, you know, wider side oh, what do you call those things?
Whatever.
You know, to widen the road, not to four lanes, mm-hmm. but to have nice wide strips like it has from Newmarket going to Liberty Town, something like that on the southern part. You know, make our interchanges a little bit better at 75 and 80 down there at Lewisdale Road and 75 and 355 and places like that. So
that's good.
Frank's looking at me kind of funny
Over, over time, how does one reach you? If we want to reach you before the election or after the election, what is the best way to reach Tony?
You know, I tell folks 301-748-6146, or you can hit me up on Facebook if you want me to write you something back. I do not have a website. Google my name and you'll see all the great things that I've been doing for Frederick County. And I've lived here for 46 years, raised my 11 children here. Would love for them to be able to afford to live here and work here too. And that's a process that we need to work together. And that is what does set me apart, to answer your question originally. I will work with everybody in the community to find out the best solutions for Frederick County.